From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the earthly life of the Lord Jesus Christ, messages that will give us insights into the various aspects of our Lord's temporal ministry, from His teaching and miracles to His atoning death on the cross and His glorious resurrection. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Victory Without Battle. The text is found in Hosea chapter 1 and verse 7. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Precious word, Jehovah Himself will deliver His people in the greatness of His mercy, but He will not do it by the ordinary means. Men are slow to render to God the glory due unto His name. If they go to battle with sword and bow and win the victory, they ought to praise their God. Yet they do not, but begin to magnify their own right arm, and glory in their horses and horsemen. For this reason, our Jehovah often determines to save His people without secondary means, that all the honor may be to Himself alone. Look then, my heart, to the Lord alone, and not to man. Expect to see God all the more clearly when there is no one else to look to. If I have no friend, no adviser, no one at my back, let me be nonetheless confident, if I can feel that the Lord Himself is on my side. Yea, let me be glad if He gives victory without battle, as the text seems to imply. Why do I ask for horses and horsemen, if Jehovah Himself has mercy upon me, and lifts up His arm for my defense? Why need I bow or sword, if God will save? Let me trust and not be afraid, from this day forth, and forevermore. Amen.
Once for all the Savior paid redemption's price, when upon the cross He made the sacrifice. Hear His words of triumph sounding from the tree. Hear His shout sounding out.
The victory is won.
Jesus
Since Christ has died, salvation is complete. Follow to his cross and worship at his feet. Listen to his shout resounding far and near. Still it's heard, trust his word, never fear.
Though the battle rages, we may rest secure. With the King of heaven, victory is sure. Down the halls of time, his words forever ring. Hear his voice, make your choice, crown him king.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. This week on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns returns to the theme of Christ taking Galilee by storm through the power of the Holy Spirit. In the previous message, he set forth the message of Christ's ministry, the gospel of the kingdom. Next, we'll see that the method of his ministry was preaching and teaching. This remains the principal means of biblical ministry. Although many contemporary churches have sought to minimize preaching and to substitute entertainment and other gimmicks, it is the preaching of God's Word that the Holy Spirit uses to regenerate sinners and to edify the saints. Now Dr. Cairns commences his second message on the theme, Christ taking Galilee by storm through the power of the Holy Spirit.
First of all, we read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. And then in Luke's Gospel, we read verses 14 and 15. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy. And he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. And then in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, a parallel passage. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. When we last turned to this passage, we took these words in Luke 4:14 as the summary text. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. After he had been in Judea for his baptism and his anointing with the Spirit of God, and then after he had remained in the wilderness of Judea to be tempted 40 days and nights by the devil, he made his way back to Galilee to commence his great Galilean ministry. I summed up that ministry in one sentence last time, that as the King of Grace, the Lord Jesus Christ invaded the strongholds of Satan, engaged his most powerful forces, and triumphed gloriously over them, as witnessed by the changed lives that he touched in Galilee. Now, as we considered Christ taking Galilee by storm through the power of the Holy Spirit, we concentrated first on his message. Now, I had intended to get a lot further than the first point last time, but my intentions, though good, were unfulfilled. We thought of the message, the gospel of the kingdom. I'm not going to reiterate what I said then, except to say that this is the gospel. It is the gospel with a particular emphasis for a particular purpose, but it is the one and only true, everlasting gospel of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not some gospel of works, as so many people mistakenly teach. It is not a gospel that was for a past period and that will be resurrected in the kingdom age. It is not a gospel, as one preacher put it in Britain many years ago, that is partly of grace and partly of works. It is the gospel of the sovereign King of glory who came in grace to the salvation of sinners. And that was the message that the Lord Jesus preached, the gospel of the kingdom, with its summary message that men should recognize the King, bow before him, and receive him as Lord, Master, and Savior. Now, having dealt with his message, we want to proceed to consider his method. We read that he was teaching and preaching the gospel. Teaching and preaching the gospel, Matthew tells us. The word that is used here for preaching is a word that carries the force of heralding or proclaiming. The Lord Jesus stepped forth as heaven's herald upon the earth. He put the silver trumpet of the gospel to his lips, and he heralded to men of every kind, in places and circumstances of all descriptions, the one glorious message of the grace of God to men. When you think of him proclaiming, emphasize, that is God's way of reaching sinners. Now let me make that clear. It has always been true, and it remains true, that it hath pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Lord Jesus certainly exemplified that. He took the word of God to the people where they were. Ezekiel once said concerning his own ministry among the captive Israelites in Babylon, I sat where they sat. Well, the Lord Jesus could certainly say those words, only he lifted them to a much higher plane. He's the one who came down from glory, and he came to where we were. He didn't look over the battlements of heaven and say to sinners, this is what you ought to be. This is where you have to reach. Had he done that, we would never have been anything but sinners, and we'd never have reached anywhere but the lake of fire. But he came, and he sat where we sat. He went where sinners were. He didn't stand aloof from the ungodly. We may learn from that, because the more wicked the world becomes, the more apt Christians are to misuse the doctrine of separation, which is never meant to be an isolation of the Christian from the worldling. The Christians are the salt of the earth, and if you remove that salt, the world will become more corrupt, and sinners will be sealed to their doom. Separation is unto holiness, but holiness is meant to be practiced in the world and amidst the worldlings of the world. The Lord Jesus did not hold himself aloof from sinners. His enemies even mocked him, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. That was meant to be a condemnation. The Lord Jesus, as we see as we proceed with the studies in his life, wore it as a badge of honor. He went where sinners were, and he brought to them the word of God. He did not go to where sinners were to be like them. He did not adopt this crazy philosophy that has come to curse the Christian church of our day, that if we're going to win the sinners among whom we live, we have got to look like them, walk like them, talk like them, act like them, and be like them. There was nobody more unlike the sinners around him than the Lord Jesus Christ, but there was nobody more effective in reaching them and bringing them out of darkness into the glorious light and liberty of the gospel. He went to them where they were. He addressed the needs that they felt. One of the buzzwords of our age in the church is relevance. How to make the gospel relevant. How to make the message relevant. How to make the church relevant. That's been the excuse for turning churches into entertainment shows. That's been the excuse for making churches anything but preaching houses. The Lord Jesus can teach us all about relevance. Relevance doesn't require that we change the message. Relevance doesn't even require that we change the methodology. Relevance does not mean that we have to become suddenly all super 21st century. Relevance is to do what the Lord Jesus did. He went where the people were, and he addressed the needs that they felt. The first need that they felt was caused by the feeling of guilt. He went among men who were eaten alive by guilt. He didn't bring them some soft psychology, some soapy water to try and wash away their guilt. No, he brought them the message of the gospel. He did not deny their sin. He actually accentuated their sin. He convicted them of their sin. He told them in very plain language that they had a need to feel guilty. But he made it clear that there was an answer to their guilt. He addressed guilty sinners and all their felt guilt. Not only so, he addressed, and this is the real meaning, or one of the two great meanings, I should say, I'll deal with the other briefly in a moment, of the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. He dealt with the ravages caused by sin in their lives. Broken minds, broken homes, broken hearts, broken bodies. These were the ravages of sin. And wherever the Lord Jesus went, he brought his word and his work. He brought himself and his ministry to deal with the felt needs that sin had caused in the lives of men and women. That is true relevance. To identify the needs and then to apply the gospel to those needs. He dealt with another felt need, and that was the emptiness of the religion that they were practicing. Oh, the Jews were very proud of their religion. And yet, you can catch in what the crowd said that they recognized the utter futility of it all. When the Lord Jesus taught them, what did they say? They said that he speaks as one having authority and not as the scribes and the Pharisees. The people recognized that however religious they were, however observant of the details of Judaism, their religion had become a mechanical, empty performance. The Lord Jesus came like a breath of fresh air into a stagnant room. He blew away the stagnancy of dead religion. And he brought to these people the truth of God. Reality. Man, let me tell you, if you want to talk about relevance in your Christian witness, live a real Christian life. Witness a real Christian testimony. Let's cut the cant and the religious jargon and the empty talk and the high-sounding words that are never lived out in a high living experience of holiness. Let's cut that out of the picture. The unsaved people of this world know reality when they see it. Aye, and they know hypocrisy when they see that too. The Lord Jesus certainly addressed the felt needs of the people. He expounded the way of life in the plainest possible terms. The Lord Jesus was the most profound preacher who ever lived. He not only preached the truth, he was the truth. He not only brought the Word of God, he was, as he is, the eternal Word of God. He is the Logos. He is the very expression of the infinite wisdom of eternal deity. And yet, whoever preached more directly, whoever preached more simply, whoever preached more to be understood than the Lord Jesus Christ. When I hear what passes for preaching nowadays, when I read what Reformed preachers and scholars are turning out, I wonder whom they are seeking to impress. There's so much jargon that is totally inexplicable to any but the perverted mind that produced it. There's so much empty rhetoric. There is so much to impress other scholars that the millions of the world sit back untouched, unmoved, and uncared for. The Lord Jesus Christ preached in the plainest terms the way of life. If we would emulate him, let us never be afraid to be simple. The genius of the greatest preachers in the history of the church has been their simplicity. Oh, they have dealt with deep doctrine, glorious theology. Mr. Spurgeon deliberately adopted the predominant use in his vocabulary of what he termed the Anglo-Saxon part of the English tongue. Now, you have got to understand the kind of study and thought that went into that. I don't know if I can stand over the percentage, but I was always told that English is about 60% of a Latin extraction. And if that's so, you can see how much Spurgeon would have had to work to use the Anglo-Saxon rooted words. Why did he do it? Because he felt that they were words of strength. They were words of clarity. They were words that carried concrete ideas that he wanted to implant in the hearts and minds of men and women. D.L. Moody, though certainly not a Spurgeon in the pulpit, preached so simply that the effete preachers of his day dismissed his preaching. In fact, newspaper articles, when they started to be written about Moody, would have carried the dismissive line, of course, it wasn't a sermon at all. It was a message. Moody preached to be understood. Moody was followed by R.A. Torrey, who was a man of immense intellect and learning and training. If you read R.A. Torrey's sermons, the one thing that strikes you is the utter, I would almost say absolute, simplicity. The Lord Jesus expounded the way of life in the plainest terms. And he did it all in the power of the Holy Ghost. Ah, that was the secret of the method.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.